recording. We are live. Let me do the testing one last time. Just talk on the. Just talk like as if you're normally gonna talk.
Mic check. 1 2 1 2. Let's get it. East Coast baby. Let's go.
Maybe you should have went for a rap career instead, bro. Man. With those drops or an MC or something.
Yo man, believe me, that was the dream. I'm not making this up. That was the dream. I actually have a mixtape out.
Get the fuck out of here.
I
really?
Dropped the mixtape in high school. My rap name was Chase Spitz.
Chase Spitz,
yeah. And then this mixtape's name was Straight From The Ink, Volume 1.
Is it still on SoundCloud?
No. Before SoundCloud, it was SoundClick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was on SoundClick, and I sold about like 300 copies in my high school.
Damn.
In my cousin's high school. So I went to high school in Hicksville.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it was Volume 1. There was never a Volume 2 after that.
That's hilarious. So,
Yeah, I'm just happy put that on the record. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the Questionable Behavior Podcast. This is your host, Edison. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also, give us 5 stars on all platforms, iTunes, everywhere. And now, don't forget to follow us on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. We got a couple episodes up there. Our episodes come out on audio first, and we delay it for the video. So, you know, give it a little hype for you guys. All right, we got Jay Lee in the building, a chef with the Him pop-up in New York.
Yes, sir.
All right, so I want to get started, first of all, with your career. You were working for a big restaurant beforehand, and that restaurant was getting crazy reviews for their burgers to begin with. And then you kind of left there to start a pop-up here on your own, right? Is that kind of like the way it's working? Or?
Yes or no. I mean, I've been cooking professionally in New York City for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
The last 5 years as executive chef for different restaurant groups.
Right.
And I quit a very cushy job in February, this February,
mm-hmm.
to just, you know, go out and try something new. I was turning 30 years old. I felt like I put a decade worth of time in this craft,
right.
I felt like a very strong calling from the universe, just go out there and try, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was the perfect chance because, you know, I'm not married, I have no kids, let's risk it, let me put myself out there in the market, and if people fuck with me, then I'm happy, you know?
Right.
But I can fail now, and that's okay, but,
yeah,
you know, imagine if I had, like, kids and a wife, and
right. it would too much pressure to fail.
Yeah, way
right.
too much pressure.
So, like, where did you come up with the idea to do the pop-up, and, you know, specifically about your menu with the burgers and all that, so tell me about, like, that idea, and, you know, how you, because I've never seen a pop-up food shop.
Yeah,
okay. You know, so I feel like that's rare for me to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, so the pop-up idea came about because I helped a guy named Yuji. He's a Japanese dude. He's still around today.
Uh-huh.
He started a pop-up like in 2011,
okay.
And that's when I helped him like three times a week.
Okay.
So I knew the concept of pop-up for years now, and you know, it was a way for me to kind of start my own small business, and you know. It's low risk.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how it came
out. And
I
think it kind of like brings attention to your name more, you know, with your pop up. And the way the attention has begun, like I told you a second ago, I came here off of Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, I tried the burger and I'm like, holy shit. You know, it's fucking delicious. I was like, this is the best burger I've ever had. And I'm a steakhouse guy. I go to all the steakhouses, I try all that. And this is by far one of the best burgers I've ever had.
Oh, my God. I appreciate that.
So
thank you very much.
I came here, and then the second time I came, I was like, all right, now I have to talk to the chef. I said, I got to get him on the show because simply off the taste of the burger, I wanted to interview you. So
cool,
that's
man.
How that
yeah,
worked.
Man. I mean, I really appreciate that. I mean, I, you know, you asked me how did I come up with the burger.
Yeah.
So I ended up at this bar, Black Emperor in East Village, because I worked with the main owner here before.
Okay.
And he had a pop-up chef lined up who backed out last minute.
Oh, wow.
And he was opening in May, and he called me like the last week of April. So I put together this menu that you see in like 2 days. I put it together, and I just opened, you know?
And so at that time, you were thinking of doing a pop-up anyway, and then this just kind of came out of nowhere.
It fell on my lap, you know? Yeah. Like I said, you know, the universe was just like working its way for me, and it just worked out perfectly timing-wise.
Yeah.
And I agreed to a 6-month term, and, you know, it's... By the end of October, it's end of 6 months. So
what's the plan for after? Are you trying to like, Because with the 6 months, obviously, you know, over time, everybody's hyped up. Yeah. Now I've told everybody, I've seen it, I've posted on my Instagram. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, I got to try this burger. I said, you guys have a month left.
Yeah, yeah.
So it creates that extra hype value for people to come in.
Yeah.
So are you telling anybody what's next, or you're going to just disappear from here for a while?
No, you're going to get the scoop right now.
All right, perfect. No, we're getting the exclusive.
No media has the scoop right now.
Got it. All right.
All right, you ready for this?
Tell me.
I'm signing a lease to open my own restaurant in December.
In December?
Yeah.
In New York?
In New York City.
Congratulations, man. I'm gonna have to clap it up for you, man. There you go. Hey. He's opened up his own restaurant this December. This December, after a 6 month pop up, your own restaurant's coming. And what's the menu gonna be like?
It's gonna be Korean inspired food, just like here.
Yeah.
With New York swag is what I call it. Mm-hmm. Just the different cultural, you know, diversity, just kind of, you know, and New York swag is kind of like bold,
right.
Bold, assertive. We don't shy away, and it's very like in your face, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of style.
Which actually, I just see it like even just from looking at like your chicken sandwich, for example. Yeah. There's like a lot going on, and it's you know, the different tastes you get. I'm not a food expert, but I eat a lot of good food. So
yeah. Oh, thank you, man.
So and that is delicious. So and I can definitely see like the little Korean taste, especially the way you do the shishito peppers. And I don't know what you use on the tater tots, but man, those are the best tater tots I've ever had in my life. I don't know what that cream is on the bottom. I don't know if that's like a Korean cream or what. So are you're gonna have burgers, you're gonna have like tell me something like that people should go there for. Or do you not have that main plate yet?
Well, this time I'm not going to put together a menu in 2 days. Okay, I'm going to actually recipe test and like really think things through. But expect a burger. I will be opening for dinner to start and eventually for brunch. I want to focus on dishes that you normally wouldn't think is Korean.
Right.
But when you taste it, it's like, wow, I could really see.
Get that little Korean. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So the
I think that's perfect because it doesn't put you into one lane. Like people are not coming just to have Korean food. They're coming to have like this different type of cuisine that's mixed with like, or, you know, you're putting your Korean touch on it, but still it's like American food. It's a burger. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
That's probably what brings out all that taste in the burger anyway.
Yeah. So you know, the vibe is the vibe of the restaurant will be like 90s to early 2000s hip-hop vibe.
Okay. Bringing it back to the mixtape.
Yeah. Bring it back, you know. So the music you'll hear, the posters you'll see in the wall,
right.
the mural you'll see, it'll feel kind of vintage and feel kind of like old and, you know, comforting to you in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not modern. But it's funny because I consider my food to be not traditional and not so vintage.
It's modern, actually.
Yeah, and you know, but I always take humble ingredients and transform it into something that's thought of in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, I never want to create a dish that you could find at any corner shop you see in New York City. You know, so that's my goal as a chef, to create something that is very interesting, and you know, hopefully people, you know, love it and keep coming back, because this is the only place where you can find this kind of food at. You know.
And here specifically, you have you had like limited burgers, even the dry aged steak burger, which by the way, guys, I'm telling you, that's the fucking thing you want to get. But the dry aged steak, I think you started and begin with only like 5 burgers per day,
and then now
I don't know how many you're making per day.
Now I have about 25. Mm-hmm. You know, to be honest, I expected to only sell like 30 burgers in total, like per day. When I did my math, I was like, all right, if I make X amount of money.
Right.
I paid this amount in rent, you know, labor, whatever. I'm like, I'm happy with having this much left, like bottom line profit.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm happy with selling 5, and I wanted to get in just 5 orders per day, you know. I'm like,
yeah.
Because I didn't want this to just hang around in the kitchen for 2-3 days,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
I want
and
it to be really fresh.
With the dry age, you wanted that fresh, freshness.
Yeah,
to it.
And I don't want to compromise its quality. So I started at 5, and then the Gothamist article came out. Oh my God. There are people waiting in line to order dry-aged burgers. They sold out within 5 minutes. And I was like, yo, this is...
All right, now I got to get more burgers.
I'm like, yo, 5 is not enough. So, you know, I changed the wording on the menu. Now it says limited availability.
Right.
Before it was limited to 5 a day. Now it's limited.
Availability,
so,
right.
Yeah, so, you know.
What's been your busiest day here so far?
Busiest day? I think 3 weeks ago. I can't say busiest day, but... Yeah. 3 weeks ago was my record week.
Really?
It was super busy.
Mm.
My back I'm still young. I just turned 30, but my back, my neck, I needed a two-hour massage the next. I was like,
just because many people were coming in.
I've never cooked so many burgers in my life. Like, it's crazy. And I'm an immigrant. I'm an Asian, you know, Korean immigrant.
When'd you come here?
I moved here in 97.
I came here in 99, so right there.
Where are you from?
I'm Albanian, from Kosovo.
Oh, yeah, cool. Okay. So I'm from Seoul, Korea.
Got it. Yeah.
You know, and when I started cooking, I'm like, okay, one day I'll be known for like a Korean, like something Korean or Asian, right? Whether it's like a rice and noodle. Like Gothamist said it was one of the greatest burgers in New York City. I'm like,
okay,
damn,
now I'm
burgers?
Gonna be known for burgers.
Yeah, damn, I'll take it. I mean, I'm not knocking.
What was like your initial goal when you were you know, just starting to work as a chef? You were working for a couple bigger restaurants. Like, what was your initial goal there? Were you just trying to start like a fancy restaurant and then this happened, or?
Well, when I started cooking, it's because I needed to pay rent to go to, in college, right?
So. Right.
My parents still live in Long Island, but that's where I'm from. And my dad like told me, yo, if you want to move out and be closer to school, you got to pay your own rent. So he got me a job at a ramen shop.
Okay.
Because his friend at church owned the ramen shop.
Okay. So you were just there. I didn't really know how to cook at that point.
I never cooked before. I made instant ramen. Like, that was it. And I had to like start cooking like fresh noodles. And I'm like, oh my God. So that's how I started. But it wasn't until like... I failed. I wanted to be a nurse, actually. And then I failed chemistry. And I was like, all right, I can't do this anymore. Like, me and chemistry, like, it doesn't. We don't line up. Yeah. I don't get it. So that's when I decided to go into the cooking route.
Right. And then, like, so what were you making initially? Like, what when you first started, what was, like, your major? What was your best meal before all this came out?
My best meal?
Your favorite thing to cook that?
I don't know if I have a favorite thing to cook. I love making like sauces and like soup. Mm-hmm. That was my thing. Like stock, like anything liquid form.
Really?
Yeah, like sauces, soup.
Pretty opposite from fucking burgers. I mean,
yeah. I feel like my strength is in like sauces and soup. Mm. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I cook everything pretty well to a certain degree. You know, I'm not the best of the best in everything, but I have a very good understanding of everything. So. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wanted to learn as a young cook, move around from like, you know, like different types of cuisine, like American, Italian, Indian, Japanese, Chinese, and just get the knowledge, at least, of like what's power. I was like, I never asked for a raise in my life working as a line cook. Most I ever made was $11.50 per hour. And I worked overtime.
Really? So even like before this pop-up shop, that's what you know, you weren't like...
Oh, man, like, you know, like...
You weren't the main chef at the restaurant over there. It wasn't like, you know, they were paying you one of those top dollar chefs
It wasn't until I became like an executive chef where I actually made like a decent living.
Right.
Before then, I made shit. It was... Mm-hmm. Dude, I made...
Just regular local restaurants type of thing, right?
Yeah, like... You know, like, I don't want to get anyone in trouble for saying this, but I had to work off the clock.
Yeah.
Like, I probably worked, like, minimum 2 hours a day off the clock for, like, a year straight at one restaurant.
Right.
And it's
I know, like, the shit, because I like to cook. You know what I mean? Initially, before I went to college, I was thinking, oh, maybe I should go to culinary school because I like to cook. I like to, you know, mix different spices and just figure it out on my own in a sense. But then, you know, you start thinking about, like, every holiday you have to work because that's the most popular day for people to go out and eat. Every night, you know what I mean? It's a very demanding job, you know? Just like you're saying, you're working 2 hours extra every night. You know, you really can't rest. And now you're opening up a restaurant, which is...
Yeah, I mean...
If you can't rest as a chef, you can't rest if you're the chef at your own restaurant, even less.
It's really...
So where are you putting the bed in the restaurant? Did you figure that out yet? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't sleep. You know, I'm definitely going to sleep, but I think it's just a matter of really having, like, realistic... expectations, setting up realistic expectations, and, you know, like, and appreciating a lot of, I think these days it's a very controversial topic. It's a labor law, right? Mm-hmm. The minimum wage $15. Oh my God, you know?
Yeah.
Because before
yeah.
it wasn't, I made $8.50 an hour. Like, that was minimum wage.
Yeah, my day job was in construction. And when I started, I was making like $12.50 an hour. And this is working for a big construction company. Yeah. Now it's like $15 an hour is the bare minimum. It's like, oh, I wish I was fucking around during this time.
Yeah. So I will say this, like, I'm an immigrant, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had to adapt.
Right.
I had to. There was no choice.
Yeah, exactly.
If I wanted to fit in and survive, mm-hmm. I had to adapt.
Right.
From me going from moving from place to place, like physically, like homes.
Yeah.
My parents, like, we moved around. My family moved around many places.
Same
I had
here,
to adapt.
Yeah, yeah you have to because otherwise you're not gonna, you're not gonna make a social life if you don't.
You know, in a way, I'm a soldier because I just adapt to environments. And I go with it. You
so
know,
whatever
I,
comes
I don't
your way,
fight
just,
against
yeah,
it.
Right,
I know how to blend in. So with the new labor laws and all these laws that's changing, it's for the better for human life.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So why fight it? Why are you like going against it and blaming that as to be like the failure of your success? You know, that is a cheap. It's a cop out. Like,
right. You're trying to find the first excuse in a sense.
Yes. Just because you are unable to budget everything else out and be busy enough and find different streams of revenue, you're going to blame the labor costs.
So tell me a little bit about that, even just for like the pop-up shop here. Like, how are you managing how much you're going to order? Because you obviously want to keep it fresh. You don't want to, like you said, you don't want stuff to be sitting here. And so how are you how do you manage that? How do you manage how much quantity you're buying and everything?
Well, I mean, I order produce and meat. Literally every single day, like except Sunday, because no one delivers on Sunday. Every day I'm getting fresh product in.
Okay.
And I don't have a lot of storage space coming, like fridge. So I can't order a lot anyway.
Right.
So it's a good thing to just keep rotating product out. So there are nights where I had to sell out of burgers like early on through the night just because like I was so busy and I couldn't keep up and I didn't have a lot of fridge space, you know. But I will say this, like when I open up this restaurant, I'm going to figure out ways to budget, find different revenue streams just so I can pay my employees a livable wage.
Right.
You know, like I read a quote like you know, if you pay someone the bare minimum wage, how can you expect more than the minimum from them?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to, you know, I've been in the shoes.
You've been through the rough
patches. I've been
patches,
through it, man.
You know,
And I want to show appreciation, you know. So, and I think if you have a good staff that appreciate you, your customers will be happy.
Right.
And then, you know, then the restaurant can run.
It'll run itself.
You. Yeah.
Exactly.
You yeah.
Exactly.
You don't have to be there 24/7.
Right.
And then you can
start
sleeping.
And that's,
you know?
Besides that, then you can start thinking of a second restaurant.
Yes.
Start
thinking.
Because I was just going to ask, I mean, you're going to start your restaurant. Obviously, that's going to take up all of your time. Not most of it, all of it.
Yeah.
But then eventually, after things are smoothly, are you thinking of, maybe I'll start a random pop-up shop here for a month or a random pop-up shop here just to, like, get people a little bit more hype, a little something different in random places. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to expand eventually. My goal is to open up more than just one restaurant, but I'm not sure exactly what that'll be yet.
Can you just check the video real quick? All right, we're good. Sorry. As you were saying, sorry about that, guys. We have to, you know, we got the video stuff we have to take care of. But, yeah, so you're definitely thinking of second restaurants.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking ahead a little bit that way. So are you going to try to create, like, a franchise? Or is it something that's going to, you know, you're going to maybe do the first thing and do something completely different on the other route?
I mean, I would love to do something different. Each one to be kind of very unique to what it is, you know. I think if you try to expand the same exact concept, it kind of dilutes what it is.
Right.
And it doesn't remain like unique.
Special. It's
and
not special,
anymore,
right?
So my first project is very special to me because I'm naming it after my hometown in Korea where I was born and raised.
Okay.
No One is the name.
No One.
N-O-W-O-N.
N-O-W-O-N. No
yeah,
One. And then that's the name of the place in Korea. Actually,
yeah.
That's
so it's very personal to me. Yeah.
Yeah. And very marketable.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully I'll have a different concept after that. Not anytime soon. I really want to give all my blood, sweat, and tears into the first project.
Right.
And I don't want to make the mistake of expanding too fast and then just having the whole empire
crumble. You want to focus on the one, make sure that quality and that is all together. And
yeah,
then
I don't I don't want to be greedy.
Well, let's you know, let's get the first one going.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll see from there. We'll get a follow-up interview. Yeah. We'll talk about the second one.
Yes, yes.
Now, the most important question of the day is, are we invited to the opening of the new restaurant in December?
Yeah, you're invited. Aaron's invited.
Yeah. Shout out to King Aaron in the building.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are invited. You know, I think I'll soft open in December and then fully open by January.
All right, perfect, man. Yeah. I can't wait to try it. I mean, first of all, I can't wait to try another burger here today because I didn't come here. I mean, I came here mainly for the burger, and we're like, let's get the interview too. No, I'm kidding. and everybody, make sure to follow him at. Give your plugs in. Give your plugs for Instagram. And,
yeah,
you know,
man.
Any shout outs? Any girlfriends at home that need to hear their thing? Oh yeah.
Yo, because. You heard through Instagram.
Okay.
My beautiful girlfriend, Rebecca Chu's. Rebecca Chu, her Instagram is Rebecca.
She's a foodie as well, right?
Yeah,
she's a
huge
food blogger.
She has like a million followers. Yeah. She's really good at all the social media stuff, which I'm horrible at. I'm getting better now because of her. Thanks to her. Good. I love you, babe. Thank you.
There you go. You're not getting in trouble after that.
Yeah. So, you know, first shout outs to her. My personal Instagram is jae.s.lee. And then my pop-up is him_ny.
Yeah. Him New York, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure to come here. You have 1 month left. You have 1 month left to get this wonderful menu. I'm going to read it off to you, all right? We got the... Actually, I didn't try the yuzu guac and rice cracker.
Read it down, brother.
Sorry. We got the yuzu guac and rice cracker.
Boom.
Numbing cucumber pickles.
Let's get it.
Blistering shishito.
You know what it is, baby.
Harlem rice cakes.
Yo.
Honey butter tater tots.
Ooh, cute.
We got the Shin Ramen Spice Chicken Wings.
Yo, that's special right there.
Washugyu.
Yeah, Washugyu, yeah.
Washugyu Double Cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And the most important and biggest thing on the menu, the 10-ounce dry-aged steak burger.
That's a gem right there, son.
Don't forget about the dessert, the Super Sesame scoop of ice cream.
Yes.
And, you know, we're going to just...
Yes.
That's how we're going to end the show, ladies and gentlemen.
The last day for the pop-up here is October 30th.
October 30th.
That's it.
That's the last day.
After October
30th, you're done. There's no more.
No, come through. I appreciate all of you. Thank you very much. It's an honor. I mean, I don't get a lot of interviews.
But now you will.
I'm hungover. I'm really hungover. I'm just fucking out of it, and I just like.
But luckily enough, you make a hangover cure right in the back.
So you know, if I was a little crazy, please forgive
my.
All right,
this is the questionable behavior. If he was a little bit crazy, then he's living up to the standard.
Cool. Thank you.
Don't forget to check him out. Make sure to come out before October 30th and give us 5 stars on all platforms. Subscribe to YouTube and everywhere. You know, just check us out. Google us. We're Googleable. Retro.